Today, we're going to talk about how to grow spiritually. How to grow spiritually. A lot of disciples begin their journey, but along the way, they stumble and they stop growing or they have digression. And I just want to help you today with some practical things that will help you to go on to maturity in Christ, because the vision that Jesus has for his church is not just for us to be saved, but for us to continue to be transformed into the image of Christ. For the body of believers to be a growing and thriving organism that gives glory to God. And the best thing that we can do for the health of the church is for us as individuals to mature and grow, whether it's in the fruit of the Spirit or in other attributes, godly attributes, for us to add these qualities to our lives, to allow God to use our talents and our gifts and our abilities so that we can make a difference in God's kingdom. The letters that we read oftentimes, whether it's Ephesians or Colossians or 1st, 2nd Corinthians, all those letters were written to teach disciples how they could grow, to deal with issues that were taking place in the church, but also to give them direction as to how they could go on to maturity in Christ. Ephesians chapter 4, which is a scripture that we use a lot of times in our staff meetings to remind our leaders of their priorities. In Ephesians 4 verse 11, Paul says it was he who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And then he goes on, he says, instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so there you have a vision of what Christ wants his church to be. That the elite, the leaders, whether pastors who are also elders or evangelists, teachers, that their obligation is to equip the saints, not just to do all the work, but to equip the saints to train, to teach other people how to help meet the needs of the body of Christ, how to go on to maturity, whether it's as a single or a married adult or a parent or whatever place you happen to find yourself in life. And that God is glorified and the church is built up when every member is growing. Amen. So we need to talk about not just the need to grow, but how to do that. Another great scripture on this is Colossians 1, verse 28. Colossians 1, verse 28, Paul says, we proclaim him admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. He makes no exceptions here. He says, everyone. To this end, I labor, struggling with all his energy, which so powerfully works in me. The English Standard Version says, him we proclaim, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. That word perfect can be translated mature. And so to this end, we labor, that the goal of church leadership is to present every member mature in Christ. And too often in the church, you have 20% of the membership doing 80% of the work, when really you should have everyone involved doing their part as they go on to maturity. We all know what the Great Commission is, Matthew 28, 19 through 20. Jesus tells his disciples to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. And then he goes on, he says, and teaching them to do what? To obey everything. I think a lot of times we do a great job on the first part of that, making disciples of all nations, and we could grow in that. But the second part is the hard part. Teaching them to obey everything. Not just telling them to obey everything, but teaching them to obey everything. In order to grow as a disciple, you have to have the humility to understand that I need to be taught. I need to be a learner. I need to be an imitator so that I can take these things and pass them on to others. Here's the thing you've got to understand. God expects you to grow. He does not expect you to stay where you are spiritually. God expects us to turn weakness into strength. He expects us to overcome whatever issues there may be in our lives, whatever challenges we may face. God expects us to continually be transformed into the image of Christ more and more and more. And as Paul told the Corinthians, he says, from one degree of glory to the next. You know, there's a strong scripture in Hebrews chapter 5 that really makes it clear that God expects every person who is a member of his body to grow. And in Hebrews 5, some believe it's Paul, but whoever the Hebrew writer is, he says in verse 11, he says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, still being an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So I'm here today to give you some solid food so that you can go on to maturity. Now, just as we think about this, what do you think are the keys to spiritual growth and maturity? What do you think they are? Just real quickly. What do you think the keys to spiritual maturity and growth are? Humility. Okay, humility, all right. What'd you say? Consistency, all right. Patience, all right. Patience with the teacher or patience with the student?
Yes.
Or both, okay.
Relationships.
Anybody else?
Honesty
is such a lonely word, right?
Prayer.
Prayer, all right, prayer.
Applying what you learn,
all right. Faith, hope, love, compassion, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all these things, Jesus. All right, so it's not that we don't know, right? It's not that we don't know. Think about it. For anybody to see progress or growth, whether it's intellectually, academically, athletically, number one, you have to make a decision. I want to grow. Now, I think you would assume that every disciple has gotten to a point in their lives where it's like, I want to grow, but it's not true. Sometimes we want to be a come to church. We want to be associated with other godly people, but it has to start with you individually deciding, I want to grow. What keeps people from growing spiritually? Well, one of the things that prevents our growth is a failure to make a decision, I'm going to grow. Not everybody who goes to the gym wants to get in shape. Not everybody who's on Weight Watchers really wants to lose weight. Plenty of people say that they do, but in reality, they don't. So that's why you have the Bible, so you can learn. There are many contrasts in the Bible of people who went opposite directions because of the decisions that they made. Cain and Abel both had decisions to make. One guy made the wrong decision. He could have decided differently and learned and grown. Abraham versus Lot. Abraham went in one direction, Lot went in another direction. It was their choice. You look at David versus King Saul. I know David had some, had his flaws, but when you look at the hearts of the two men, one made one decision, another made a different decision, and God was able to use David in ways that he couldn't use Saul because David decided to pursue God. You know, you look at David versus his son Solomon. Solomon was the wisest man on the face of the earth, but he made some poor decisions. He stopped growing. He stopped focusing first on God, and it cost him. And on we could go. You know, look at Joshua and Caleb and the 10 spies. They all went into the land and saw the fruit of the land. But when they came back, they made different decisions. And Joshua and Caleb went on and grew and became greater and greater leaders. While those other 10 spies, God took them out. You have to make a decision today. Do you want to grow? Do you want to mature spiritually? Do you want to make progress in your spiritual life? Are you content where you are? God always gives opportunity to grow. What was the great statement that Joshua made to the people of Israel near the end there? He says, you know, choose this day whom you will serve, right? He says, but as for me and my house, what are we going to do? We're going to serve the Lord, but you choose. And I think too often in the church, we try to get people to do things they don't want to do. That's so frustrating, isn't it? When you're trying to help somebody to move in a direction that they don't want to go. You can't do that with grown-up folks. Now, you can do that with your children between ages 1 and 5. You just make all the decisions for them. And those are important years where you're trying to mold and shape their character. But then as they get older, it gets to a point where you try, but they don't want to put on the clothes that you want them to put on. They don't want to eat the food that you want them to eat, though you know that these carrots and peas are best for them. But when they're younger, they have no choice. They have to eat whatever you give them. I think in the church, sometimes we try to act like Christians are that way. God does not treat disciples that way. He does not make you do anything. He wants you to do it because you want to, because you know that's the only way it would last, but will last. But have you made a decision? I'm going to go on to maturity in my spiritual life. That I'm not going to stay where I am. But in the coming days and weeks ahead, I'm going to move forward for God's glory so that I can make a difference in God's kingdom. Now, we go back to the basics here. Jesus said in Luke 9, who can quote Luke 9:23 for me? What does Luke 9:23 say? Okay, all right. All right, Beam hit it. If anyone would come after, that's one of Beam's favorite scriptures. If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. There's a very important word in there. Okay, if is one of them, yes. Because it's conditional, right? Right? Daily. Daily. A lot of us have decided, and we did decide, I'm going to take up my cross. But how often does he say you have to do it? Daily. Daily. See, one of the greatest challenges for us is failing to understand that you can't make permanent change if you don't make a decision to change something every day. Every day. You've got to decide, I'm going to do this every day. You cannot change your life until you change something you do every day. Sometimes we say we want to make the change, but we leave out the daily. How do you develop great Bible study? Daily. How do you develop great prayer life? Daily. How do you grow in humility? You work on it weekly, monthly, yearly? Daily. I mean, how do you make a physical change? You have to change what you eat Monthly? Every decade? No, you've got to go after this thing how? Daily. And what happens? Some days we want to, and then some days we don't. And so the days that we progress, we regress by the days that we decide not to. And the challenging thing for us is that we won't just make a decision daily. I'm changing, starting today. See, change has to be intentional. You don't grow spiritually haphazardly. You know, I'm going to be a great man of God. How? Well, I'm just going to get close to other, walk next to other spiritual people. Just get in the same room with them. I mean, if you go to the gym and other people are exercising and you're not, do you get in shape? No, they get in shape, not you. Now, if you go out to the park and everybody's running around the track and you're just in the park, do you get in shape? No, you have to get on the track. You have to change, has to be intentional. And I think that's where we think, well, I'm a part of the church and I come to the services. That's not going to produce change. That's not going to produce growth. You have to be intentional. You have to verbalize it. One good sermon won't do it. One good book won't do it. You know, one good class or attending one good seminar or having one good relationship won't do it. It all comes down to you. Now help me out again here. We all know this, the parable of the sower, right? How many soils were there? See, four, right? Which represented the four different conditions of men's hearts, right? All right, and we know that the first soil was, call that a what? Hard heart. The second soil? Shallow. No, didn't go down deep. What was the third one? Thorny. Thorny. And then the fourth one was the good soil. Now, what's the difference between the good soil, the third soil, and the fourth soil? What's the difference? Weeds. All right, weeds? All right. Well, the fourth soil didn't have struggles? Didn't have challenges? Didn't have worries or concerns? All right, let me read something to you here. Luke 8:14, it says, the seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they're choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. They don't mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. See the difference there? Every Christian faces challenges. Every individual faces obstacles. And there are times when those obstacles are bigger in your life than they are at other times. There are moments in your life where everything's going great and you're like, man, I'm on a high. But be careful, because the lows will come again. And so your challenges are not just unique. I mean, it's not like your temptations are exceptional. Or your struggles. It really gets down to, have you decided, I'm going to grow anyway? I'm going to grow through these things. I'm going to make progress through these things. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. So remember, we're talking about growing spiritually. And we're going to get real practical in a minute. But the first thing I want to know is, do you want to grow? So I want you to ask somebody that right now. Do you want to grow spiritually? Ask them. Okay. Okay, all right. I don't know what answer they gave you, but you know what the right answer is, right? In 2 Peter 1, verse 3, this is one of my favorite scriptures. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness. That's a blessing right there, right? Do we have everything we need to grow spiritually? God has provided it, hasn't He? Everything we need. Through our knowledge of Him who's called us by His own glory and goodness. So that's why you need to be in the Word of God, because you have the knowledge of God, the knowledge of Jesus. You have the knowledge of how the Spirit can work in your life. And you also get to see how other people either overcame challenges or failed to overcome challenges. It says, through these, He has given us His very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in what? What kind of nature do we get to participate in? We get to participate in the nature of Christ. That's amazing. God doesn't want you to be ordinary. He wants you to be extraordinary to His glory. You get to participate in a nature that is unlike your physical earthly nature. And escape the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. Can we escape the corruption of the world? Can we escape the world? All right, one day you'll go into heaven and you will escape. But right now you got to deal with it, right? He says, for this very reason, do what? Make what? Do what? Make an effort. Right? Make an effort. Will an effort do it? Now he says, when's the last time you went after something with every effort? Every effort. You see, because even with simple things like Bible study, do things get in the way? What gets in the way? No. You get in the way. You get in the way. Schedule. Who decides your schedule? Fatigue. Who decides when you get up? Who decides when you go to sleep? Who decides those things? Who decides if you will open or close your Bible? Who decides that? The devil makes you do that? Who decides that? You do. He says, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and self-control perseverance, and the perseverance godliness, and the godliness brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities, is that it? And what? And how do you get these qualities more and more? You have to work at it daily. He says, and say, well, you know, just add to your faith goodness and the goodness knowledge and the knowledge of self-control and self-control. He says, you got to add increasingly. You got to keep going for it. And to brotherly kindness, love, he goes on. And if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Is that not an amazing promise? Have you claimed that promise? He says they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind and has forgotten that he's been cleansed from his past sins. You know, one of the challenges, and if we have time, we might look at it, that Jesus kept giving the Pharisees, one of the things he kept calling them was blind guides. He says, because you know what's right, but you don't do it. And you cross land and sea to make one disciple, and you make them twice as son of hell as you are. He says, blind guides. And they just couldn't see their way out of it. And Jesus just challenged them on that. He says, we don't want to be nearsighted and blind. Now go and look at verse 10. He says, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your call and election sure. For if you what? Do these things. Then what's the promise? You will what? Never stumble. You will never fall. Have you claimed that promise? Have you seen disciples stumble and fall? Are there people stumbling and falling in our fellowship today? all around us, aren't they? Why? Now, there's no absence of struggle here. That's not what I'm talking about. Struggling is not the same thing as falling. Being challenged is not the same thing as falling. We can't exempt you from the challenges of life. But you don't have to fall if you keep growing. It says, and you will reach a, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, it's really challenging. And really, you can't do it. You can't change your destination overnight. But you can change your direction overnight. You can change your direction starting right now if you make a decision. You think about any area in your life where you're like, my Bible study is weak, my prayer life weak, my relationships are weak. You know, I don't really reach out to anybody to share my faith. Or, you know, if you're pursuing God, you know, I'm inconsistent at church and I don't do the things I need to do. You can change that direction starting when? Now. If you wanted to begin a diet, you can begin it. Not that I believe in diets, but if you want to change your eating pattern, you can start when? Right now. If you want to grow in humility, when do you have to wait to start? You can start when? Now, your destination is to be a humble person. You won't automatically become a humble person right now. But if you work on it starting what? Now. If you wanted to change your marriage, the direction of your marriage, when can you start? Now, will that fix you? If you decide right now, I'm going to change my marriage. Is your marriage changed? No. What do you got to do now? Every day. You got to work on it. If you keep working on it daily and daily and daily, prayerfully over time, what? You'll see a change. You'll become a new creation. I mean, because it's just like the physical things parallel the spiritual things. If you go to that gym and you keep working out, you know, 3-4 times a week and you change your eating, you know, after a few weeks and a few months, you're going to be what? You're going to have a decreased waist size. It'll happen. It'll change, but it'll never happen if you just decide and you don't follow through. So let me hit one more thing before we get into the real practical stuff here. I think another thing that prevents our growth is a lack of motivation. Because a lot of times we equate motivation with feeling. Motivation is not feeling. Motivation is conviction. Nobody who's successful always feels like doing what they need to do. I mean, the greatest men in the Bible, I mean, you read Philippians 3, turn to Philippians 3, and we'll hit this, then we'll hit a few practical things here. Philippians 3, verse 10, Paul says, I want to what? I want to know Christ. That's powerful, isn't it? I want to know Christ and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of sharing with him in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow to attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already obtained all this, I've already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to taking hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and pressing on to what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Is Paul motivated? He's motivated. He says, I'm trying to get there. I'm not there yet. But what does he do to get there? He says, I do what? I press on. You know, sometimes the only answer to your spiritual progress, it's just to do it. So how do I get motivated? Just do it. I don't feel like walking today. You don't need to go read a book on walking. Or the advantages of walking or YouTube. No, what do you need to do? Just do it. I don't feel like being humble today. I don't feel like saying, I'm sorry. Well, what do you do? You do it anyway. So you got to understand, if you're going to make it in this Christian life, you've got to press on and make yourself do what you know is right. Now, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:24, another scripture we all know very well. 1 Corinthians 9:24-27 says, do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games go in the strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body, make it my slave, so that after I preach to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. How do you build a great prayer life? You say no to what you want to do. And you pray anyway. How do you build a consistent Bible study life? When everything in you says, I don't feel like doing this, you do it anyway. Just do it. Man, I don't feel like going to church tonight. Have you ever felt that way? I'm sorry, more people felt that way than I realized. What do? You just do it anyway. That's the way you get through life. Nobody gets up and goes, I can't wait to go to work. I can't wait to go to work today. Oh, I'm looking forward to going to work and dealing with all these negative people and all these situations. But I want to get paid, so I'm going anyway. Just do it. It's like, well, Sam, can't you give us some other greater motivation? Well, I can tell you the love of Christ compels us, that you've been saved by grace, that God has vision for you, that you have the Spirit living in you. And I can tell you a gazillion other things, but no matter what I tell you, there are going to come days when you sit there and go, I do not want to do this. And you know what I'm going to tell you? Just do it anyway. Because when you start doing what you know is right, you start feeling what is right. You can't feel yourself into a better way of acting, but you can act yourself into a better way of feeling. See, when I do what's right, I begin to feel better. But when I don't do what's right, not only do I not accomplish what I need to, I feel even worse. But every time I say no, 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 just do it. Go ahead and do it anyway. I don't want to read this book today, but I'm going to read it anyway. And I'm going to keep reading until I find something in here that is going to help me progress today, move forward today. Do it anyway. You see, as I said before, make a decision. I'm going to change something every day. So let's talk about a plan. A plan for spiritual growth. See, I think we come to church and we know we should grow. And everybody tells you need to grow. You need to mature. You need to grow in the fruit of the Spirit. But you got to have a plan. You know what I'm saying? It's like you just learn from the world. It's like people have eating plans. People have workout plans. People have plans for their education. I got a plan. And when you go to school, they just don't go. Just go to any class. You wanted to get a degree in engineering? Oh, just take whatever. No, there's a plan, right? And so you follow that plan. And the same thing has to apply to your spiritual life. Do you have a plan for your spiritual growth? What's your plan? Because if you don't have a plan, you're probably going to wander aimlessly. But you've got to have a plan. It's like when someone wants to study the Bible and they tell us they want to become a Christian, we have a plan. Oh, I can help you with that. Don't we have a plan? We have a plan. We need to get a better plan for after they become disciples, how to get them on to maturity. We need a better plan for that. We need to work on that plan. But the reason some of us grow is that we have no plan. It's like, what's your ambition? Well, you know, I want to be a leader one day. Well, what's your plan? That's a good question. You know, I want to grow as a woman of God. What's your plan to grow? What's your plan for growth? Well, I just thought that if I hung around long enough, it would just happen. No, it won't. It won't happen unless you intentionally work toward making it happen. One of the best things you can do for your spiritual life is to decide on a plan for growth. And here's what I'm going to do. Now, a lot of you have mentioned, and we're going to help you today. When you leave here today, you're going to have a spiritual growth plan. That if you eat these vitamins and you put in your body these spiritual nutrients and you follow this schedule, that you will grow from a weak, measly, powerless disciple into a strong man or woman of God. We're going to give you a plan for spiritual muscles today, where you can be strong in Jesus. All right? We're going to give you a before and after plan. This was you before, and this is you afterward. So we're gonna hit it, all right? Okay, all right. Now, if I had time, I'd let you fill in the blanks on all this, but because I think it's always good for me to know what you're thinking. But I want you to think for a minute. What would you give someone as a spiritual plan for growth in Christ? What would you say needs to be in that plan for them to grow spiritually? Excuse me? Okay, read the Bible. Okay, she said reading the Bible. You can't go wrong with that one, right? You can't go wrong. Well, let me hit a few things, and then if we have time, I'll let you add some. Okay, now this plan, and really, you have to decide. You have to decide if you're going to adopt this plan or not. I can't make you do it, all right? But here's some things. The plan, number one, should involve daily time in prayer and meditation. I said prayer and meditation, because we all know we should pray. I don't think we meditate enough. Here's some great scriptures. Psalm 48:9 says, "Within your temple, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love." See, you need to pray, but sometimes you just need to be still and meditate on God's unfailing love, to set your heart and mind on things above and let it permeate your soul. Let it assimilate in your being. Where you grasp it, where you read a scripture and you go over it so much that you have memorized it. That it's like it's in your heart. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I mean, where you've meditated on it so much that it's part of you. Pray and meditate. Psalm 77, verse 12. "I will meditate on your works and consider all your mighty deeds." We're too busy to grow sometimes, to stop and to focus on God's mighty deeds. You know, the heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. Where you just meditate on it. And it's like it's in you because you've stopped. Helps you to grow. Finally, Psalm 119, verse 15. "I meditate on your precepts and consider your ways." Don't just have Bible study. Have Bible revival. says, well, Sam, I'm in a hurry. No, stop. Meditate on that one scripture. And let it feed your soul. You know, what does Paul tell us in Philippians that we're to set our minds on, you know, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You need that time. If you want to grow, sometimes you got to stop. To move forward. And I would encourage you, whether it's 10 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, you know, sometimes for me, it's just an hour and a half just walking and being with God. Helps me to grow. It helps me to think. See, because I've got to think about what I need to change, what I need to be different in, and how my great God can help me get there. That's how you get close to God. Just be still. Meditate. It should involve daily time in the Word of God, right? Daily time in the Word of God. You know, who did the scriptures commend as being noble because of the Bereans, right? Were of more noble character than the Thessalonians, right? Because they studied the scriptures how often? Every day. That's character. And he says in Psalm 1, verse 1, it says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prosper. Do you want to be a twig spiritually, or do you want to be a tree? How do you become a tree? He tells you. You know, blessed is the man who delights in the law of the Lord. Do you know the law of the Lord? Not a few scriptures, but do you know it? Are you in it every day? Are you becoming an expert in the Word of God? Not just in knowledge, but in spiritual meaning. How serious are you about your Bible study? If you're not serious about Bible study, you're not serious about meditating and praying, then you're not serious about growing. If I challenge somebody to study their Bible every day and they say they want to become a Christian, they don't do it, I won't keep getting with them. Because it's a waste of their time and a waste of my time. Yeah. What if we use that standard for disciples? We started well. Have we continued to grow in our depth of understanding and knowledge of God's word? It should also involve reading spiritual material and listening to messages that promote growth. I think you should look for outside input. That you should try to have your own seminars where you listen to messages by other spiritual men and women. And I'm not saying everybody on YouTube is what you need to go to. But you know what? When you listen to spiritual stuff and you read spiritual things, it fills your thoughts and minds. We don't have the answer to everything. I love our fellowship, but we don't have the answer to everything. You can learn a lot from other people. And Colossians 3 verse 1 says, since then you've been raised with Christ, set your hearts where? On things above. Set your minds on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. So we need to set our minds. What are you reading? Man, I like Sports Illustrated too. But I need to read spiritual stuff. What are you listening to? I like R&B music. I like Luther. But Luther don't teach me anything about Jesus. I need to listen to some other stuff that fills my heart and mind. I even encourage a lot of preachers to listen to themselves. And they go, I don't like the way I sound. Why should anybody else then? You got that? It should involve reading spiritual material, listening to messages that promote growth. It should involve fellowship and edifying church services. You can't grow if you don't come to church. Like, do I need to repeat that? You can't grow if you're not there. It won't happen. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We can't spur you on if you're not here. And you can't spur me on. Well, I sent you a text message. Look, true change happens face to face, not text to text. You want to help me? You got to look in my eyes. That'll tell you a lot more about me than a text will. You want to know how I'm doing? You got to see me. Because people can tell you all kinds of stuff on a text or on a phone. I love you. I do, bro. You awesome. Look, we need face to face. I need to see you. He goes on verse 25. Let us not give up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing. But let us encourage one another and all the more as you see the day approach. Some people are in the habit of not coming to church. And you're in the habit of not growing spiritually. You got to be there. Says, well, Sam, we're all here. You're talking to the wrong people. Then you need to go talk to them, okay? And then finally, because we got to go, there's so much more I could say. It should involve spending time with spiritual people. Who you spend time with? Here's a great scripture, Proverbs 13:20. He who walks with the wise does what? Grows wise. But a companion of fools suffers harm. If you want to be wise, you can't walk with stupid people. If you want to be spiritual, you can't spend all your time hanging out with unspiritual people. If you want to grow in humility, then you need to be with people who are growing in humility. You know, if you want to grow in courage, you need to be with people who are growing in courage. If you want your marriage to get better, hang out with people that have a good marriage. Don't hang out with the derelicts who are fighting even before they get to your house. If you want to get better, get with people who can call you higher. Says, well, I don't know anybody like that. Then you got another problem. You're blind. So much of my spiritual growth has been the result of me having God given me relationship with people who were ahead of me. And I was able to learn from them. And then I was able to help others. You know, it just blows my mind how some of you can be in the church and be close to no one. You can't grow like that. Well, I am an acquired taste. I am in a unique personality. No, no one can be that eccentric. You don't need other human beings. And just as we wrap this up, brothers, you need brothers. You need man to man. Sisters, you need women. Women and women. Well, you know, I got my boyfriend. I got my girl. No. You're blinded by love. Everything you do is awesome then to them. And I'm telling you, that's not reality. Reality is brother to brother, sister to sister. But here's a spiritual plan. Implement these things. And if we had time, we could add more. But I guarantee you, if you begin to do these things weekly, daily, in the next month, you'll see growth. In the next quarter, you'll see more growth. In the next year, you'll look back and you'll praise God for how His Spirit has transformed you and more into the image of Christ. God bless. Yeah.